Hello, Duncan Crawford here. Welcome to Top Class, where we're talking about artificial intelligence. Is AI in the classroom a force for good or a potential threat? Will AI support teachers and make student learning more effective, more accessible, more inclusive, or is it largely hype? In this podcast, we're going to explore the potential benefits and risks. Already, AI learning bots and other AI tools are being used in classrooms across the globe. According to one estimate, AI in education will be worth $6 billion US dollars this year alone, and it's expected to be worth a lot more in the years to come. So, amidst all the questions about AI's impact, we can say with certainty it is big business. I'm joined by two AI experts to discuss all of this. Wayne Holmes, Associate Professor at University College London, UCL, who's an expert on AI in education. Thanks for joining us, Wayne.
It's very good to be here. Thank you, Duncan.
And Adil Khan, a former school principal in Denver in the US and founder of Magic School, an AI platform to support teachers and students. Hello, Adil.
Hi, Duncan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to both of you for joining me. To kick things off, Adil Khan, if I can start with you. I presume you think AI is a benefit to education. Tell us a bit about your Magic School platform and how it works.
Yeah, I am definitely on the side that AI can be, when used responsibly, an incredible benefit to both students in their learning as well as teachers in their work. Magic School is a platform that began as a platform simply to assist teachers in their day-to-day work. It's the first technology that I've seen as a former teacher and principal that can really make a sizable impact on teacher workloads. We know that teachers are overburdened and overworked. Teacher burnout has been a thing that I have known, felt like an intractable problem my entire education career. And Magic School can help you get a start on things like your student support plans for your students with special needs, differentiating instruction for work in the classroom. Magic School can help you do this really, really quickly and easily. Get ideas for lesson plans, get ideas to make classroom instruction more relevant to the students who are in front of you, personalize the instruction to your context, your students, their ability levels. AI has this really remarkable ability to help us do things that we know as educators we've wanted to do for our students for forever, but have maybe not had the time or resources to be able to do. We can now do that, serve our students better, and also save time as educators. And the second part is, you know, AI is going to be a growing part of all of our lives, whether you're an educator or not an educator, in the coming years. And it's important that students have what we kind of call AI literacy. They understand, you know, what AI can be useful for as a tool, and they understand how it works to their benefit, understand its limitations, understand how to use it responsibly, as well as understand how to make sure that it's not replacing their thinking, which right now, you know, a lot of schools are in this binary yes or no, we're going to let our students use AI, not let our students use AI. And as we know, there's not, there's always a lot of gray in between. And we take the stance that AI can be really valuable in a student's environment if it's done really responsibly and doesn't replace their thinking. AI is, quite frankly, not in a place yet where it should be doing that. And then two, that's not what it's most valuable for. It's most valuable for helping you become more creative, helping you have a thought partner, helping you find information quickly. There's a lot of really valuable use cases in a student's world, and there's a lot of ones that are not particularly valuable. If you have it write your whole essay for you, you're not doing a lot of thinking.
Let's bring in Wayne Holmes from UCL, because Adil there outlining some of the potential benefits of AI. And there's certainly lots of different types of AI and the ways it can be used in the classroom. But overall, Wayne, do you think AI is a benefit to education?
Well, I want to start by saying I don't know Adil's platform well. So anything I say is not a comment on his work at all. But I have to say I'm still a bit skeptical. Two of the claims that Adil made, I think, are really interesting. One was that we can use AI to save teacher workload, and the other is we can use AI to personalize the learning. And the irony is that both of these claims have been made by technologists and psychologists for nearly 100 years. And the reality is it's never happened. Now, the argument is that, well, we now have AI, so it's going to change things, right? Because AI is able to do things that we've never been able to do before. But I'm not convinced. I think the saving teacher workload thing actually will translate as we help teachers stop doing one type of work, but we just send them off to do a different type of work. And so actually, there will not be a significant positive impact on their workload. And the personalized bit I find really strange, because the vast majority of teachers that I know, they personalize their learning moment by moment when they're interacting with their students. That's what they do. They're professionals. And the idea that the tools can come in and personalize, I find quite worrying. I just don't believe it. All of the, you know, the 50 years research of AI in ed has to a great extent focused on these two things, workload reduction and personalizing learning. And the personalizing learning, what they mean by that is actually personalizing the steps that each individual student goes through according to their abilities and interests, etc. But the whole purpose of that and the way they all work is to take students to the same destination. So it doesn't really personalize it for the individual student. The focus is on things like efficiency, etc. And the final thing on the personalized learning, there's very little evidence that personalizing learning is good, is something to aim for. You know, it undermines the social context of the classroom, for example. So I think these are big issues that we need to keep discussing, but the evidence really isn't there yet.
So from what you've just said there, Wayne, do you think AI should be used in the classroom at all or not?
Yeah, I'm more than happy for AI to be used in the classroom. I'm not against AI. What I'm against is extraordinary bad AI being used by some bad players to do bad things in education. And the problem is that there's an awful lot of that around. And that's what I'm against. So I think there are opportunities for students to take advantage of these tools. And, you know, something that Adil did mention was AI literacy. And I think that's absolutely fundamental.
So Wayne has outlined a number of issues there, Adil, about why he believes there should be more of a conversation about whether AI should be used in classrooms at all. Where do you stand on this? Do you think there is enough of a consideration about the risks?
Yeah, I mean, I would actually agree with most of the things Wayne said, despite starting and leading an AI platform that's used by, you know, a million plus educators around the world who espouses that AI has a place in the classroom. I think Wayne's points are really well made. And I always like to tell people, like, when I was a principal, we used nearly no educational technology tools when I was a principal in my school. And that was based on the fundamental belief that it wouldn't make that big of a difference. And, you know, I still needed my kids to be able to write well. I still needed my kids to be able to do the things that they were going to need to do when they got to, you know, whatever their post-secondary outcome is, which for most of them was college. And, you know, the only technology we used were laptops and, like, you know, their LMS, like Google Classroom or something, because of that. So I was not a buy the hype kind of person. And, you know, despite leading, you know, this platform, I still fundamentally believe, and our slogan, you can see the t-shirt I'm wearing, says teachers are magic. Like, I don't believe the AI is going to be doing the personalizing learning. I don't believe the AI is going to be doing the heavy lifting. But only AI in the hands of a teacher who deeply knows their students, knows what they need, builds relationships with them, cares for them. AI in that kind of educator's hands is going to, I think, be a superpower and something that can make their work and their life meaningfully easier. Your question around risks, you know, we do a lot to make sure that we name the risks for teachers before they join the platform. So, you know, before, if you sign into the platform, it's free to sign up. You get like a best practices warning, one saying, you know, you shouldn't outsource your thinking to AI. You should be doing the thinking and you should be outsourcing some of the doing to AI and directing it in the ways that you need it to do the work that you need it to do for you. And then you should also take another step of reviewing it, make sure it's contextualized, make sure it's factually accurate, free of bias, and actually is useful for your students. Two, you know, we say that you know, we shouldn't be sharing like tons of personal information with these systems that, you know, we're not familiar with what's going to be done with the data. We, as a platform, you know, we do not sell data. We don't share data. We don't store any PII for students, but these are things that you should do with any AI platform. So we have a lot of reminders from the student side and the teacher side of the platform to make sure that people are understanding what they're doing and how the technology works and what they should and shouldn't do with it before you get started. But I, on a personal level, think the technology is too powerful and too important for the future of like civilization for us to not be giving our students, giving our teachers an understanding of it. We started with teachers because we know that if there's going to be meaningful AI experiences made for students in schools, their teachers need to understand what AI is, become familiar with it, understand its benefits, its limitations, the risks associated with it. So we started with our teacher platform and just recently launched our student platform because we think that students need to be prepared for a generation where AI is a growing part of their lives and often going to be a co-pilot in their work, whatever they do. Having like a training ground, a safe, reliable, thoughtfully designed experience for them before they leave us in school is really important. You know, the fundamental premise of this is we're not taking the teacher out of the loop. The premise of Magic School has always been that the teachers are the magic and the AI is there to help.
Okay, so Adil has just mentioned a lot of different interesting points there, and I want to try and break down some of the topics we're getting into. So let's focus on student-focused AI for a moment. And Adil, you talked about student-focused aspects of your platform now. Who decides on what the curriculum is? Who decides on the topics and the methods of teaching, for example, and what is it based?
So our AI platform is meant to be like kind of a playground for students to be able to explore all the different use cases that AI can be meaningful for in their jobs, which would be being great learners and students in the world. So the way the platform works is a teacher decides, what do I want students to be able to do with AI in conjunction with this lesson that I'm building? It's actually not intended to be just a standalone, you go to it, you use it. It's actually meant to be planned alongside a teacher. So a teacher is creating a lesson about entrepreneurship, and they want to do a week-long project where a student comes up with a business idea and goes through the entire process of getting ready to pitch it to an investor who might invest in them and give them the money they need to get their project off the ground. The teacher would then, on their dashboard, see, okay, I'm going to go to the student platform and see, you know, what would be valuable for students if they had AI to work with. What types of tasks would this AI do to help them in reaching their goal of creating this business plan and getting ready to pitch this to investors? So they might use the open-ended chatbot tool that has a couple guardrails on it. They might use the five ideas tool that gives students additional ideas or helps them deepen their thinking on the ideas that they've already had through extended questioning. What the tool does is it modularizes the abilities of AI to be this really incredible information engine and support engine so that the teacher can just decide what are the things I want the student to do with AI that would help them practically in the assignment that they're doing, rather than just some kind of open-ended, here you go, or some, you know, thing that's not necessarily tied. So again, to the earlier point, it's about teacher in the loop. If it's not intentionally built into your lesson as a teacher and you're not thoughtful about what your students learn, it's not going to be meaningful.
So Wayne, Adil outlining there some of the potential uses, and certainly other people who work in the AI industry who develop AI apps, they talk about enabling students to, you know, for example, go back over content, to learn at their own pace, to help them understand the fundamentals of things before moving on to harder content. So do you see the benefits in this?
I think we need to take a step back because, you know, when we're talking about AI today, when most teachers and most policymakers are talking about AI today, what they're talking about is ChatGPT and other generative AI tools. And what they're not aware of is the 45 plus year history of the development of AI tools in classrooms. So over the past year, we've seen an explosion of tools built upon the generative AI platforms that are being sold into classrooms. But, you know, before, go back 18 months, and I could have given you a list of 30, 40 different multi-million-dollar funded companies around the world that are selling their products, their AI-enabled products, into schools, often with the support and funding from government. So, you know, AI is pretty complicated in the range of things it can be used to do. The vast history of those tools, however, is, as you mentioned at the beginning of this, is student-focused. So the idea is it's the tool that attempts to do the teaching. And that's where, you know, a lot of the research focus has been. But the problem with that is it, by definition, is about taking on board teacher functions. If it's not doing what a teacher is meant to be doing, then why would they be selling it and buying it and people be buying it? And I think that's a huge problem, because actually it's the system that decides what the student should do next. And the teacher might have the choice, do we use this tool in the classroom or not? But very often, once they've made the decision to, they lose pretty much most of the control.
To play devil's advocate, if students are struggling and these kinds of apps can help students have another go at learning certain skills, such as maths, so they master the concepts and become proficient, as opposed to some students, for example, struggling in class and the teacher then potentially moving on to another part of the curriculum, and then certain students fall behind. Can you see the benefit there of those kinds of apps?
Yeah, for a student to use on the bus on the way to school, probably, you know, it could be really useful. Where I find it problematic, when the entire classroom of students are just getting on, ignoring the other students to the left and right and just focusing on the computer, I think that's where it becomes a problem. The issue that we have is that very often students are not making the progress they're capable of, right? We all agree that that is a problem. The question is, how do we go about doing that? And one of my concerns is that while the AI tools might have certain benefits for certain students in certain circumstances, it's when it becomes, you know, the overarching way in which we're going to, quote, solve the problems, which I just don't think it happens at all. And it's a way that policymakers can say, hey, look, this is really exciting. I can say we've invested in AI, put that into classrooms. I'm not going to be around long enough to worry about whether there's any evidence that these tools actually done anything worth doing. And instead of actually investing money in teachers and teacher professional development, that for me is a huge thing.
Adil, one criticism is that this is new technology. It's being trialed in various classrooms, particularly in the United States. And the criticism is that kids are being treated like guinea pigs and we don't really know what the impact's going to be. How do you respond to that?
That's a great question. I think that I don't know that we're putting this in front of kids before we're putting it in front of anyone. ChatGPT-4 has been around for nearly, you know, a year and a half. It's the most used consumer platform ever, fastest used consumer platform ever. So therefore, it has massive kind of usage and battle testing before, you know, students have touched the stuff. So I mean, while it might feel fast, and you know, while there is a lot of usage of AI, there are still a ton of people who are yet to adopt it. But I would actually say the risk is in the other direction. So the example I always give is when I've been an educator for the last 16, 17 years. And, you know, laptops were being used in the professional world. Computers were being used in the professional world for decades. In any professional job, people were using laptops, they were sending emails, and it was decades before schools got one-to-one laptops for students. And that was not preparing them for a future that they were going to be engaging with. I don't think anybody looks back on that and thinks that, oh, we moved too fast on computers and technology and the internet. Everyone looks back at that and thinks that was an inevitable technology that everyone was using, and we didn't prepare students for a future that they were going to be using these tools all the time. So I just think that, like, we are now, the education system has a little bit more of a memory of emerging technologies that have gone from we're unsure about this to inevitable very quickly. And there's a lot of school and district leaders I talk to who they actually tell me that exactly. They're like, look, like, we understand this isn't perfect. We understand that there are things to be that we should be concerned about, we should be careful about, but also we don't want to be 20, 30 years behind like we were before when it came to laptops and the internet. And we want to be on the forefront of this because our kids deserve it. And I would say that's the way I think about this, is that if my students weren't using AI in the classroom, then you know who would be when they get to college? Their private school peers, who have these really open environments where they're encouraged to use new technology, who are in the wealthiest school districts and schools in the country. And why should they have access to these kinds of tools? Because they have wealthy parents and a wealthy school, and others shouldn't have access to it.
One thing which critics pick up on is whether the use of AI can take away a sense of accomplishment for the student when they use it, particularly if we're talking about something like creative writing. The creative act requires considerable effort, and AI is effectively a shortcut and to an extent takes away the challenge. So do you see that as an issue?
I do. I think this is an issue for the entirety of society, though. I don't think it's like a school-based issue. While school should be paying close attention to it because we're developing young minds, this is something we're going to have to start balancing and thinking about. You know, I face this battle in my work every day, right? I always want to think to myself, well, I'm struggling with a challenge right now, and should I just go to ChatGPT and get a quick answer to this and see what it thinks? Or should I take a couple shots at this myself and then combine my thinking with ChatGPT or another AI system? I think that that's like the ability to oscillate between them. But I do think we can probably agree in this call that this is the worst technology will ever be. It's going to get better and better over time. So that question is going to be a harder and harder question to answer. If it is more creative than me and it is smarter than me, or even on, you know, different levels, that's like an ethical, you know, a massive question we're all going to have to be thinking about and debating. And we need to equip our students to have that conversation. They have to have that debate. They have to want to, they have to understand both sides. They have to have used AI to have built literacy around AI in order to have that conversation. You can't have that conversation. You can't debate that topic if you don't know what AI is. You've never experienced its power.
Wayne, looking at the same question from another point of view, is it really desirable for students to spend hours and hours staring at a piece of paper, for example, as opposed to them using an AI writing tool that gives them more time to think about the writing and learn while they're doing it?
Well, again, I want to reiterate, I'm not against the use of AI in education. And I recognize that, you know, the genie of generative AI is out the bottle, and we'd be crazy to prevent our students accessing it. And in my own teaching, I don't prevent my students using it. But I think there's huge problems. I think, you know, firstly, this notion that it's only going to get better. I don't buy that. It might get significantly better in 10, 20 years' time when the new paradigm appears. But I do not believe that generative AI is going to get better. It might appear better, but that's not the same as being better. And there's a lot of talk that, you know, the amount of data that's been created by generative AI that's flooding the internet, that when it comes to building the next model, the problem is it's going to be trained on the data that a previous model has created. So we're going to, there's the issue of model collapse that can happen here. So I think this notion that we hear a lot, that people think, well, you know, it's early days, you know, next year it's going to be even better than it was. I don't buy that. I really don't. I think that's a hugely problematic approach to take. But with regards to students using it in the classroom, using it to develop the writing, I think the thing is that, you know, writing in particular, let's just focus on that. It applies elsewhere. But writing is a difficult thing to do. Writing is something that takes time, takes effort. It also is a way of helping us to think. You know, I don't know about you, but when I write something, it's not fully formed in my head before I start typing on my computer. It's the process of thinking it through, looking at what I've written, changing it, swapping it about, checking something on the internet back and forward. And the problem is that when generative AI is sold as being something that will save time and short circuit that process, then I think there is a huge problem. And something we don't know is whether or not students and teachers will become over-dependent upon it in the near future. But the other thing is, you know, I've spoken to teachers across Europe and elsewhere, and they think that by being careful with it, they can exclude biases. Well, no, you can't. There is no way you can exclude biases. They think that by using alternative tools, they can identify when students have used this to create their writing. Again, no, you can't. There's no tools out there that do that. So I think we are in a challenging situation at the moment where we don't really know what the potential benefits are. We don't really know what the dangers are. We've got some ideas of both, but we need to do more work. And it comes back to what you were saying earlier about avoiding using our students as lab rats to find out what is this good for them. We don't know.
Okay, Wayne making a lot of points there again, including about teachers. Let's try to move the conversation on to talk about teacher-supported AI and focus on that. And one part of that debate is, does AI reduce the importance of teachers or make teachers more important? Adil, what do you think?
So one, you know, I come from a background, I founded a public school here in Colorado. It was very successful. And the fundamental premise of the school was that the relationships we keep with our students is the foundation of the school that we build. It's not the curriculum. It's not the, you know, the day-to-day instruction. It's that if kids know that they have belonging, they feel cared for, they have connection to the adults and their peers in the building, we build a culture and community of learning, that good things will happen. And they very much did. It's a top performing public high school here in Colorado in the U.S. So you'll not never hear from me the technology will replace the teacher, because I think that human connection is such an important part of the experience. Now, can AI help that human connection potentially? I think yes. I think that if it can automate some of the work that keeps teachers in their classrooms on their planning periods, so busy with some of the paperwork that we know some of it can be offloaded, again, with teacher guidance and support. Absolutely. Can it make schools more human, more connected? I absolutely think that's true. Let me give you an example, because I saw Wayne shaking his head no, and I'm going to give you a very concrete example that I think is going to be pretty hard to argue with. One is, you know, I was a special education teacher for my first couple of years in the classroom, and I had to write these individualized education plans, which is essentially the student support plan. I'm not sure what it's called in Europe, but for a student who has special needs, about 10% of students in the U.S. are identified with special needs in schools. And in addition to teaching, co-teaching two classrooms with a content teacher, three classrooms in my first year, I also had 20 of these plans to make per semester. So twice a year. These plans typically took me 6, 7, 8, 9 hours. I knew my students really well. I served them in their classroom every day. I made sure they got what they needed. I knew their needs. But the writing of these things that were pretty formulaic took forever. And the first time I wrote them nearly made me quit my job because I still had all of my other responsibilities to do. And I had to do those plans. These formulaic type things, if they have the right inputs from the teacher who knows the student super, super well and understands their needs, and AI can come out with like a really beautifully formatted first draft of that plan, that would have literally changed my life. And it does, right? Like in our platform, we have one of those things, and we hear from special education teachers all over the country that this literally changed my life. And it made me want to teach more. It made me want to stay in the classroom because I had this assistance to do this thing that I had no capacity to do. You know, I didn't get any extra time when those things were due. I didn't get to leave the classroom. These are things that are genuinely over capacity moments where AI is filling in some of that capacity and making me more sustained in my work. So yes, there are really meaningful use cases for AI to support teachers when done responsibly, when reviewed really thoughtfully, when a teacher really knows their students, that gets them to stay in the classroom and wake up the next day motivated to serve their students and not to stare at a pile of paperwork.
I think the thing that we're forgetting here is Adil is a smart guy, right? And he is somebody who has engaged with these technologies, has engaged as a professional teacher, and he gets it. And that makes perfect sense to me. My concern is that not every professional out there has that capacity. And so when they use AI to help them generate these plans, it's going to dumb down those plans slowly but surely over time. I do not believe that they will be of the quality that those students deserve. And I completely understand the time constraints that the teachers are under when they have to build such plans. You know, I have many 65,000 word essays to mark at a time. I would love an AI tool that could help me with that, but it does not exist. So I think we need to be really careful. And I think, again, what that's doing is, I think it was really interesting when Adil said, you know, I didn't have the time and it almost made me leave the job. I get that. But the way to solve that process is your school administration people, the policymakers, need to give the teachers the appropriate time so that they can do the professional job that they all really want to do.
I think supporters of AI would argue that in the coming years, AIs could potentially report back to teachers about how essays are written, whether information has been copied and pasted, for example, into documents from ChatGPT-4, for example. And that would mean students could potentially have more attention from their teacher, because instead of spending all-night marking, grading 30 papers at a time, teachers will save time by getting that first passive grading from the AI.
It dumbs down. It really dumbs down. So this may happen, but there are no tools out there that do the kind of things you're talking about. And yet that is how they are being sold. And so teachers, bless them, who are not given the appropriate professional development, the appropriate support, are being hoodwinked by these developers who are saying, well, my tool will do this for you, will do that for you. And they simply do not. So there, for example, a classic one in higher education is the use of AI to summarize PDFs. But when you summarize another document, there are 1,000 ways more that you could summarize that document. The tool that's doing its summary, how does it know what I'm interested in, what the challenges I wish to engage with? It can't. So it just produces one summary of 1,000 possibles, but produces it as if it's the summary. And so that's why I'm saying it's dumbing down over time. The quality of the resources being developed are getting worse and worse.
Adil, I want to ask you about AI literacy, which is one of the things Wayne raised there. Do you think that teachers are able to understand and know how to understand AI, given that many people don't really understand it, how it works?
Our premise of the platform is that you understand AI and what it can be used for through doing authentic work with it. So that's the way I believe that people learn. They learn through doing authentic work, authentic projects. So that means that they're in school. And the same thing is true for a teacher. So, you know, when you build a lesson plan that you've taught before and you look at it, you're like, oh, this isn't as good as the one that I built myself. That's a moment of learning of like the AI's limitations, the kinds of habits and behaviors that the AI has because it built something you're familiar with. And again, we do training, we do professional development to help teachers learn this and use this. My answer is yes. I think that teachers can learn how to use AI, and they quite frankly have. We have 1.7 million educators using the platform worldwide. That's nearly 1 in 3 American educators. We have a ton of folks in Europe using it as well, in the UK. It's working. Teachers can use this. I actually argue that teachers are the fastest adopting group outside of maybe engineers who are using AI in the world. I don't have a hard statistic to point that to, but there's not another AI platform for a vertical that's being used as much as ours right now, other than GitHub Copilot, which is the coding assistant for engineers. So, you know, and, you know, Sam Altman has said this in quotes. He said that, I think AI's one of its greatest uses and its most ready use cases is education. And that's why, you know, OpenAI has spent so much time like on this education vertical, because it is very ready for like, you know, this kind of redundant information. We've taught a lot of the same things in school for a long time. There's a lot of things that we've done. That doesn't mean that it needs to remain that way. It just means that AI is actually in a pretty good place for these things, and teachers can become familiar really quickly. The proof is in the pudding, right? Like teachers are using it and they're finding value.
Who's responsible for ensuring the AI is giving accurate answers, that it isn't giving biased information or just generating rubbish? If conversations go into weird places or there's inappropriate content which the AI is generating, who's checking it's right? Does it solely come down to you, the company, or does the school have a responsibility?
I think it's a combination of the company, the school, the educator in question. You know, we think of this as a teacher in the loop thing. We're not going to give you a AI tutor that you use independently and just continues to drill you with the same questions. It's got to be a combination of everyone. That's actually the way that this is going to work for our lifetimes coming forward, right? It's going to be the responsibilities of OpenAI and Google and folks who are building these large language models to build them responsibly, thoughtfully. It's going to be the responsibility of us as discerning individuals to make sure that we're, you know, using it for the ways that we want to use it, and we're avoiding using it for things that we think are not useful. Wayne doesn't think that summarizing PDFs is. I might disagree with him, but that's okay. Like, he can make his own choice on what's useful and what's not. But I think that's what it's going to be, an ecosystem of like a lot of responsibility. And it's not that different from technologies we've seen before, like the internet. Yeah, you know, there are certain parts of the web that even like your Google Chrome browser or your, you know, Safari browser won't let you get to, because it'll tell you this is a dark part of the internet. You don't want to see this. This is unhealthy. And then you can make your own choices within that as well. Schools filter browsing for students on the internet in a way that they wall that garden. This isn't that different from the way that we've experienced any new technology. And I think we're going to have to do the same thing for this one.
So Wayne, how should schools decide on what AI tools are appropriate for the classroom.
Well, before I answer that, I just want to pick up on what Adil said about the proof of the pudding is in the user base. I'm really sorry, that is not proof of anything. You know, people drive too fast. People eat too much beef and fat. People smoke, right? You know, people do a lot of things that are not necessarily good for them. So that's proof of nothing. What we need is really good quality evidence about the impact, not just on the efficacy of these tools in the classroom, but also on the safety of these tools in the classroom. What impact do these tools have on the mental health of the students who are using them? But not only that, what about the impact of these tools on the ecosystem of the classroom? Now, it may be positive, but it might break the relationship between teacher and student, student. My point is, I'm not saying that it's bad in any of those ways. What I'm saying is we do not know. And that's why this is still a big experiment that we really need to think about more carefully. And despite the impressive number base you have, Adil, that proves nothing. I'm sorry. Good luck to you and your business, but it doesn't say that therefore these tools are good for the classroom.
Certainly user numbers don't say much, but we have like, you know, teachers telling us like, our fundamental thing, Wayne, is like trust teachers, right? If we agree on that fundamental premise that we should trust teachers, they're telling us that this is something that's helpful to them. Who are you or me to tell them that they're wrong?
I'm not saying that they're wrong. What I'm saying is they're not properly informed. So you quoted,
That's another way to say they're wrong, Wayne. That's another way.
I think
they're not properly informed. They used the tool. They found it valuable. It was helpful in their lives as an educator. Like saying they're not properly informed, they're properly informed. They used it.
So they know whether or not this tool positively impacts on the outcomes of the students. They know that this tool has no negative effect on the mental health of their students. They know what the impact in the classroom is going to be in 5 years' time. My point is that evidence is not there. And that's what I'm saying. So we cannot just rely on the opinions of teachers, because teachers are daily being misled. I'm not suggesting that, Adil, that you are doing any of that misleading, but you just have to spend 10 minutes on the internet. And, you know, with OpenAI focusing on developing tools, their tool for the classroom, fills me with dread and fear, with Meta doing the same with the metaverse. I think that's what we really need to be very careful about. So I am not saying that teachers should not be using these tools in the classroom. I'm not saying that students shouldn't be using them. What I'm saying is we don't have the evidence that these tools are worth having, and we need to get more evidence. I think it's really important that teachers understand the potential impact on human rights, on child rights. And one of the classic child rights that's very, very clearly stated in the UN resolution from, you know, 40 odd years ago is that children should not be commercially exploited. My point is this, that virtually every single tool that's enabled by AI that's been used in classrooms around the world extracts data from the students' use of that tool and uses that data to build their business model. That is, by definition, commercial exploitation of young people. Teachers are not aware of this. You know, they might be aware of how to write a decent prompt, but they're not aware of those other issues. And that's the balance we need to get in.
Adil, where do you think the balance lies at the moment, and do things need to change?
Yeah, I mean, one, I think Wayne's point's well made. People need to really look into the way that the platforms they use are handling student data and have a really keen eye for that. Our platform does not collect any product data from student usage of the platform as a principled stance on not doing that. You know, I think that the way that I continue to think about this is if the premise of this new technology is that this is as big of a technological advancement, and some people argue it's a bigger technological advancement than the internet, right? We were 20 years behind on the internet and getting kids internet literacy and getting them to learn how to use that and use a computer. We don't need to be 20 years behind again. So while I agree with most of the points Wayne has made today, not all of them, but most of them, I think that Wayne could probably agree that like we need to move more quickly, because this technology, again, genie's out of the bottle. We need to move more quickly in finding those answers about how to use this responsibly, making sure that students have awareness, literacy around this technology so they can be agents of their own lives in the future and agents of, you know, their choices in their lives rather than the choices of technology. And I think that that's a place that we can all agree is we want every educator I know, and this is true, you know, your greatest hope for your students when they leave you after their time in your care is that they have agency of their own life. They have choices. They can make their own decisions. And I think that understanding AI will help you in that path toward agency in the future.
You talked about the future and how it's going to change quite rapidly. Where do you think AI will be in 10 years' time, Adil? Will classrooms and schools be functioning in the same way, or are they going to change dramatically?
History would say that they're not going to change dramatically. There'll be a lot of the same principles that apply. I personally believe that AI is a generational technology and it is going to rapidly advance. And that's a point of disagreement between Wayne and I. I've even seen this in the short time of the last year as we've been building our company, the appetite around schools and districts wanting to embrace AI from even last spring to this spring is night and day. You know, I couldn't get a meeting with a school or district last spring. This spring, people are beating down our doors to get meetings with us. My big bold prediction is that in the next 5 or 10 years, we're going to see so much more creativity and interesting products come from students in school. So one of those things is those video models are going to get incredible. If you've seen OpenAI's new Sora model, that's text to video, it is absolutely incredible. And I said this before, they kind of put out previews of that text to video model, which is nearly like, you know, theater quality. I said that there'll be a 14-year-old kid who makes a movie on their computer that we watch in the theaters. I think that'll happen in the next 5 or 10 years, and you'll see an explosion of creativity amongst young people with these incredibly powerful tools at their hands. And we are going to be asking students to do more interesting things than we've ever asked them to do in school, especially when you get to secondary grade levels, like in high school and when kids are getting closer to university, you're going to see them doing way more in school than they've ever done before.
And Wayne, look into your crystal ball for me. What do you predict in the next 10 years' time? Is AI going to transform education from where it is today?
I agree with Adil on the notion that I don't think that schools will be markedly different than they are now. They're pretty resilient bodies that take a lot of moving. They're the super tankers of the world. And to change their direction is really challenging. But I do agree in the same way that we did have an explosion with, you know, when Web 2 came out, there was a lot of new stuff going on there. But, you know, here we are now several years after Web 2.0 came out. And actually, the world hasn't really changed a great deal. When we had the pandemic, everyone was arguing, well, this is changing education as we know it. It's not going to be the same after the pandemic. And pretty much since the pandemic has officially finished, the whole effort of education around the world has been to get back to where they were before the pandemic. So the movement, the development has been very, very slight. And I suspect it's going to be the same with these tools. We shall see. Now, we need to meet again in 5 years' time, Adil, to see exactly how AI has developed. And, you know, there's a lot of argument that this machine learning LLM model is actually hitting a ceiling and it's going to, you know, eat its own self and actually going to collapse. You know, the stuff that is produced by these tools looks amazing. There's no question. But it's what's underneath that that I think is really important, and the inaccuracies and the mess. So we'll see.
We will see. Thank you both for taking the time to have this conversation. I hope people listening have found it as informative as I have. It will be interesting to see whose predictions will be closer to reality in a decade or so from now. Thanks again to Wayne Holmes, Associate Professor at University College London, and to Adil Khan, the founder of Magic School AI. To those listening, if you have a spare moment, please do check out other episodes of Top Class and join us again for another episode of Top Class soon. All the best.